This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Morning Conversation, a presentation of Concrete Builders Supply and State Representative Cedric Hayden with us. Cedric, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we are beginning to get word about different counties that have been approved for reopening. That includes Douglas, Lane, and Curry, and Jackson, and Lake. Those are the ones I've heard about so far. What have you been hearing this morning?
Yeah, so I'm hearing the same thing. The governor is having a press conference, I'm told, yesterday, unless that's changed, and things do change quickly, at 10 o'clock this morning for further announcements. But the announcements are trickling out. And as you said, Lane and Douglas counties, the counties that I represent, part of those counties at least that I represent, are in that mix. It is expanding. There are a few additional counties, but some of the ones over in Eastern Oregon that have applied. Now, keep in mind, 33 out of the 36 counties in Oregon have applied. And so we don't know that all of those will be approved, but I think we're at 10 approvals at this point.
So what has been going on in terms of the legislature this week? Are you still doing a lot of these nonstop conference calls?
We are. A lot of them. Actually, this week I had so many of them that it was double booking and you know, couldn't get to all of them. But here's what's happening is a little bit of change of focus, I guess. You could say, of course, everything is still conversation around COVID. But this last week, particularly, and a little bit before that, the May forecast, which is May 20th. Now, this is the financial forecast that we, the legislature, work on budgets going forward. And so there is a lot of speculation, conversations about what is the May forecast going to say. If you go back 2 or 3 weeks, the governor was using a $2 billion reduction expectation. If you go back just a week or a little less, she is now using a $3 billion reduction. And so the governor's office has directed the agencies to give her a 8%, roughly 8% reduction in their budgets. Now, what that means, since we've spent half of that money, is these agencies are turning into her and, of course, the legislature and the chairs and the vice chairs, the committees are getting that information from these agencies. And we're starting to see, news reports on it. But it's basically a 17% reduction if you did it across the board. Now, we know in the legislature that you just can't close all of your jails, or you can't, take that and do just across the board those cuts. And so there's going to have to be decisions. So I have been involved with my vice chair meeting in behavioral health and meetings with my vice chair, with my chair on healthcare policy. And we're starting to dig into what are these agency reductions and how can we best stay functional. So a lot of that work is being prepared for the week of May 20th. After that comes out, I think on the 25th, I don't have the number right in front of me, maybe it's 26. We're going into what we call legislative days, but that's going to be virtually. So our committees will be meeting and starting to go over that information.
And one of the things people look at is you crunch the numbers and you see some pretty ominous things. Yesterday I saw a report of the potential of closing 9 state police offices around Oregon. And people look at that and wonder just how OSP could operate under that model.
Yeah, a huge cut there. The 9 locations, around the state. And that's where, I'm saying that I believe that it's not reasonable or logical to say, okay, we're just going to do across the boards, because that's the result when the Oregon State Police went in and did their budget cuts, and they're saying under this scenario, here's what we'd have to do. And so there does have to be prioritization of funding in those cuts so that we can keep public safety in place.
And as well, when you talk about the education arena, with the uncertainty of what's going to happen this fall with schools, and even if they do open in the in-school classes, a number of changes, a number of expenses have gone up, yet districts are already looking at having to cut staff. How do you make that work?
Well, it's going to be a big question. The big question is really, you know, at this point, it's theoretical. The big question is, what is that forecast going to be, and what do we have to target those budgets at? We really don't know at this point, but there is, you know, any time that you have the significant turnoff of the economy, there is going to be a huge amount of decrease in funds that are coming into our state. Now, our state spends about $85 billion in a biennium every 2 years, and a lot of those funds come from other sources, funds that come from revenues that are generated mostly by small business. There are about $22 billion that come into the state, and so the real question is, when the federal government is done, or when they have done what they're going to do, and they've given our state about $1.6 billion at this point, and then some other funds that have come directly to, like, providers and, you know, unemployment services and things like that. So there's going to have to be a balancing, and that's one of the things that we are targeting, particularly in healthcare, a balancing of what funds have come additionally into the state. Keep in mind that that $85 billion that we run our budget on, here in the state of Oregon, most of that comes from the federal government, particularly in healthcare. And if they are increasing their rate, like on OHP or Oregon Health Plan, they increase their rate by 6%. But those funds are still being held by the Oregon Health Authority. They haven't gone out to the providers at this point. So that's going to be a big balancing act of how much funds are the federal government's going to offset our decrease versus how much of that. The governor's saying $3 billion at this point. I think that $3 billion doesn't really comprehend the Medicaid match that we have, the system that we have. I don't think that was built to be recession-proof. That has always been one of my concerns with that. And so I think it's going to be deeper than that, but we don't know where the federal is going to end to backfill those. I know that's a long answer to that and not really an answer, but the true answer is we don't know yet.
About a minute left here. What do you think as we see the reopening process start in some of the counties beginning tomorrow?
So it's going to be interesting. Just for example, I my personal church, I'm on the board there. We had a meeting yesterday, and our church is not opening this weekend. But it has been interesting. A lot of the faith-based organizations have gotten together. They actually filed a lawsuit, put some pressure on. And so the faith-based organizations now have equity, the way I'm reading the governor's response, with other activities that can be 25 and under. So we're going to start seeing restaurants and sit-down places being able to open with some parameters, personal care like barbers and salons being able to open. One caveat I would say with that is there is a requirement by the state to track people that come in, meaning that the barbers and whatnot have to do it by appointment and keep the name of the people that are there for the contact tracing. So there's some caveats that go along with this. As it was in healthcare for me, I think, and continues to be, I think the opening will be slower than maybe some people expect.
All right, out of time for now. State Representative Senator Caden, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, sir.
8:43 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.